This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
The following podcast is scheduled for one fall, and there will be no disqualification. Making their way to the ring from lineupmedia.fm at a combined weight of 849 pounds, the Three Horsemen.
Oh, boys and girls, what can I tell you?
Are we supposed to guess?
Demolition.
I don't think you need to guess.
It's good stuff right there.
We are talking entrance themes. The best. And only the best.
Yeah.
And we are going to turn it up to 11 with this episode of Slow Jams.
We're changing the name to Slow Jams?
No.
I'll get the domain, Slow Jams Podcast.
No, please, God. No more domain talk. Big Easy, T.O., and Corey, the official wrestling snob, joining you.
Can't drop it.
To talk about wrestling themes. Theme songs that you know and love, and the rest of us just know. Oh, I know. One thing I wanted to do before we get it started. I talked to the guy on Facebook the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Name is Brian. Hold on, I'll pull him up real quick.
Tempting.
His name is Brian Barnett. If you are an old school wrestling fan, this is normally our old school theme. We just ran into situations with WrestleMania. We wanted to get as much WrestleMania stuff out as we could. Find this group on Facebook, Pro Wrestling Territories of the 70s and 80s. And Brian Barnett, who I talked to, I messaged him. I shouldn't say talk. And I said, hey, I wanted to share this on our podcast in the old school version. They are doing a territorial tag team 64-team tournament.
Wow.
And it is...
They have that many people?
What do you mean?
64 men or 64 teams?
I'll give you an example of a bracket. The Andersons are taking on the Moondogs. I gotcha. The Blackjacks are taking on the Hollywood Blondes. Now, they did not specify which Hollywood Blondes we're talking about because the Hollywood Blondes, if it's 70s and 80s, you could get a couple. The Samoans take on Ken Patera and Jerry Blackwell. Teddy Biasi and Dr. Death Steve Williams versus Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson. The Rock and Roll Express versus Ivan Putski and Tito Santana. The Fabulous One, Stan Kern, I always do that. Steve Kern and Stan Lane versus the Mongos, Beppo and Gito. You might also know one of those men as Nikolai Volkoff. They're from the 60s. Jerry Lawler and Bill Dundee versus Mil Máscaras, and I can't tell who this other guy is. Caras, I can't read what it says. I can't make it out. Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood versus Bad Company out of the AWA, eventually known as the Orient Express. So that is one part of the bracket. It is an awesome concept, and I love, but because it's pro wrestling territories of the 70s and 80s, that's the reason. So if you are bored or want to jump in on the tournament, you can vote in it right under the picture. I have already voted in the first two brackets, and it's only in Gene Anderson. Oh, I guess we got to see which Hollywood Blondes we're talking about. No, see, people are not picking them. Why is that?
I don't know.
Especially if it's Austin. Oh, 70s and 80s. It can't be Austin and Pillman. Makes sense. So, that's that. I just wanted to get that out because I had told him we were going to share that on our podcast. So
that was nice.
Hi, Brian. I don't know you, but hello.
Yeah. He knows his shit. He's from down south.
Way said down, he is Scottsdale.
Way down south.
Or Phoenix. I don't know.
Okay, so business at hand. Entrance themes.
Business at ear.
What jumps out when I say wrestler entrance themes?
Dude, don't even get me started. When I started to brainstorm what I wanted to have for my top five. I first thing I do, I need a giant list of all wrestlers with good themes. So I start Googling best themes of all time.
Very good.
So many of them that I loved, I had to come up with my own tournament, similar to our champion. I did 32 wrestler themes.
Ew.
And busted all the way down through a double elimination tournament.
Ew.
To give you my top 32 of all time. If we wanted to go that deep, I could.
Wow. Really? You have 32 all-time...
I have 32 that I thought were worthy of my tournament.
Uh-huh.
Tossed them in there, came down to one.
Really?
Yes, sir.
You have a top five?
I do.
A top five?
Well, it's technically a top six because it's a fifth place tie, the way the double elimination works.
Okay.
But yeah, I do.
That's good stuff. T.O.
What's up?
Nothing.
No, it's weird for me because I was at, like, when Corey gave the show notes this morning, I was talking to him and I said, are you going all the way back to the days that guys came out to, the PSAs and those guys coming out to Freebird?
Oh, we'll get to that.
Road Warriors coming out to, what was their song?
Iron Man.
I mean, so there was a time when it was more like UFC and these guys came out to whatever music they wanted because I'm assuming there was no copyright issues and the TV wasn't as big a deal. So you're on local TV, so it's not your song getting played in front of 3 million people on TV and then it being on video. And that's a lot of the reason why the stuff you watch on the network is all dubbed over, and you can't hear crowd responses because they don't have the rights to do it. So if you want to hear the authentic feel and sound, you have to go to YouTube and search the matches.
Am
I right, Corey?
That's what makes it so good when it happens. So good when it hits your lips.
So good.
When it hits your lips, it's just so good.
It's so good. Okay, so like T.O. said...
You can almost structure this as your top five from the 80s, 90s, 2000s.
Yeah, no. Why do that?
There's so many, though. There's so many.
You need to have what was good when they came. I mean, what did people go, oh, shit, it's them?
That's what my problem was. I had so many, like, every time I hear their music go, I get pumped. It's for whoever that is.
Like? Give me just a for instance.
Any of them, from Stone Cold's Glass Breaking to Kurt Angle's dun, 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 dun. That's newer stuff. Bret the Hitman Hart's Guitar Squeal. I mean, any of them, they all had that opening.
What you're talking about is the beginning riff that gets your attention.
And then, which is, in my opinion, the most important part. That's the main identification. Before they come out of the curtain, before their picture comes up, before any of that shit with the Titantron was going on, it was the music. The beginning of the music
that
to pull you.
I
guess Hulk Hogan really started it all, but...
Like we were, T.O. and I were talking. So, going back to the days of kind of what happened, like anything in wrestling, everybody takes credit for having the first one. But,
first one you're never going to be able to figure out. Who popularized, though?
Essentially. So Slaughter says it was him by playing the, not Reveille.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
Revelry.
Reveille.
Whatever the fucking thing is, they wake up and went to do.
It's that, but it's just the, or is it Taps?
Oh.
It might be Taps. No, it's just that. That's the whole thing.
Just like a drum?
I'm pretty sure it's Taps.
No, Taps is the...
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, then it's that... It's just that constant drum beat.
Like a drum roll?
You got it.
I don't recall.
So they'll say he did it, because, of course, WWE has to have the first person that ever did it. The Freebirds will say, well, really, we're the ones that got it going by playing Freebird when they came out. And to that, I would have guessed, I never knew that they had it play in Mid-South, which they might not have. I knew they started playing it when they came out in Dallas. So when it started being them and the Freebirds, I mean, Kerry Von Erich came out to Stranglehold. That was gold.
Yeah.
The one to me that is the, and it's going to be in my shit because I am, there is no copyright on playing. We won't play it, but we can say what they came out to. Junkyard Dog came out to Another One Bites the Dust down in Mid-South. And that got people, if you would watch Mid-South now, like I've said that they put on the network.
Network, right.
So you can see people clapping their hands and dancing, white people, because people didn't know that it was Queen. Like, I would say that he probably started playing that in 82, and it popularized. I would say that would it helped popularize that song around here, because people didn't even know Queen. They thought it was like a rap song.
Well, they heard that bass line, boo-doo, yeah. Boom, boom, boom.
I mean, yeah. Totally different, a different style down there, but for JYD, they were like, oh, shit, yeah, it's JYD, and people just went ape shit. And like Hogan, of course, came out to Real American, but what did he come out to first?
Survivor, the Tiger, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, and he was doing that. I'm pretty sure he was doing that in the AWA. I'd have to go back and look at tapes. But those guys, the Road Warriors, came out to Iron Man. I mean, people would hear that bong and just know, oh, shit. And people would get up on their feet just to see, oh, here come these two ape shit, crazy looking guys. So, really, if we're going to go back and pick, you know.
I do.
So, what is your, what's your all time favorite from the Road Warriors? Just using them for example, what did you like the best for them?
Iron Man 1,000 times.
That was like
before.
Their first one.
So, do you wish that? I mean, I guess it's, you know, it changed, but do you think that history would be different with wrestling if they could have, if there was no copyright, none of the
totally.
None of the issues. Do you think that would have caused them to get over more with certain fans? Because everybody has favorite bands, and if they associate the band with the team or the wrestler,
right,
it just ties it in all that much more.
Very much so.
You know, it's a weird thing, but I've always wondered that, you know. The Freebirds is an example that, like, a lot of people like the Freebirds because they have a song that was identified with them because they wrote the damn song.
Did they actually sing that themselves? I know they wore the mics. Did they actually sing that when they were coming out?
I believe Michael Hayes sang it.
Yeah. Every time?
Bad Street.
When they were coming out to the ring, he had the little stupid little mic on his face.
No. They recorded the song.
Well, obviously that. I just meant like every time you come out and he looks like he's, you know, singing along with it.
I want to say.
Because I watched a clip of him and Garvin coming out.
I want to say. Him and Garvin. Oh, God, I'm a free bird, and what's your excuse?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
What was your excuse?
Abdullah and Cactus Jack knocked out the stereo system. That was their excuse as to why it didn't get over. you said, what was your question was about the Road Warriors and them getting over.
Yeah.
He's an ECW guy, pointing at Big Easy.
I was going to ask this question, so go ahead.
They were the Wild West. Because they got away with everything.
But once they did that pay-per-view, uh-huh. Did they not get sued for using the music?
Everybody
in ECW came out to some sort of song. Like, Sandman was Inner Sandman. Yeah.
My boy Taz, who I'm not a big fan of his work, his was War Machine by Kiss, yep. And it's a great song. And it's what I, when in another incarnation of this show, when we said what would our themes be if we were walking out to UFC, I said, well, mine'd be War Machine. It'd be easy, because that is just a fantastic song to come out to.
Listen to this. I'm gonna run through real quick ECW and the list of licensed songs they were using for each wrestler. Every single person had one. Cactus Jack and Chris Candido both at one time came out to Back in Black. Balls Mahoney came out to Big Balls, AC/DC. Spike Dudley and the Dudley Boys did Highway to Hell.
For sure.
Let's see. Lance Storm did Thunderstruck. Benoit and Brian Lee both had used Back in the Saddle.
Oh.
Man in the Box had been used by like 30 people. Stevie Richards, Luna Vachon, Tommy Dreamer.
Well, you couldn't burn CDs back then.
Beulah McGillicuddy. Yeah, I mean, you had it used.
Think about it.
Let's see.
Plus, Surfing let's USA say one more thing. Man. They also probably use tape.
Good point. Cheapos. Easy to plug right into the PA. Black Sabbath for Kevin Sullivan. Iron Man for Road Warrior Hawk. That's got some
Use that when he was there?
Yeah.
That's great.
Bad Medicine. Dr. Tom Pritchard came out to Bad Medicine. That's kind of funny.
Great song.
Busta Rhymes was used by Angel.
Which one?
Turn It Up.
How about that?
Butthole Surfer's Pepper was used by Mikey Whipwreck. Anything else worth talking here? I'm going to run through these. DJ Cool, Let Me Clear My Throat. Meanie used that. I always like that song.
Mm.
Here we go now.
The Blue Meanie used that? Jeez.
If you're all going
to... Dude, I couldn't even possibly get through all these. They used every fucking song you could think of. Every song.
I can believe that.
And Heyman knew it. I mean, Heyman, you know, he was around for... Was he with NWA at all towards the end?
Who?
Heyman.
NWA towards the end.
Dangerous Alliance.
When they transferred over to WCW, was he there like in that period?
Yeah.
Okay, so were they still using the music then or not?
Like in their E-stream? Are you talking?
Were they still using the non-copyright music like with the entrances?
When they flipped the purchase, when WCW bought that, they had kind of started going with their own themes. The Road Warriors had a really crappy version of Iron Man going, and I'll play that. Some other guys, they had started getting their own thing. Sting got his own music.
Yeah.
Some other guys got their own music. Tough to think of who had themes. Oh, well, I take that back. The Midnight Express were still coming out to that Midnight Express music. They said it was in the Midnight Express movie. We'll play it. We'll let you know. But like, I don't think they had copyrighted everything. I'm not sure because
that's got to be part of the reason Ric Flair uses his music. Because it's just an old school, I forget what the name of it is. I got
something Zox Baruta.
God damn it, where is it?
Alt Zox.
Sprox Zathurusta. Zathurusta?
Yeah, something.
Sprox Zathurusta.
We were talking about Bad Street, so. I mean, how good was this?
Loved it.
Not great. I mean, for wrestlers, it was pretty good.
I thought it was awesome.
And to think as good as this was. So WWE purchases the rights to Freebird for the Hall of Fame induction, and they did their video package to that, one of the best they've ever done, hands down.
It grows on you. Every time you hear it, you just kind of...
Did they not do a... they had a music video and everything for this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Better get got... Yeah, so, I mean, these guys, they knew what they were... I mean, at least Michael Hayes had his hand on the freaking pulse. You know about them getting to WWF, right?
Give me the story, man. I love it.
They debut in Madison Square Garden. They're coming in to be part of the Rockin' Wrestling Connection, 84 going into 85. So they had a spot probably set at WrestleMania. Hayes shows up drunk. Andre the Giant says, fuck this. And basically threatens to kill him or he won't go on. So they said, all right. And I'm sure Bam Bam, Terry Bam Bam Gordy, they say, I'm sure he said his piece. Fuck Michael. And that was the end of the Freebirds run. I know they wrestled at the Spectrum, and I know they did Madison Square Garden, and they were gone. Gone.
That's kind of fucked up, man. I'd be so pissed if we worked like we were a tag team, a 2 or 3-man tag.
Right.
We worked our whole careers to make it to what is the new big show, basically. And you show up fucking drunk and ruin it.
I don't think he was the only one.
I'm sure there wasn't. That's not the point, though.
I mean, out of those three, him, Buddy, and Terry. I mean, I would say...
That's fair.
They were all... Nah, I wouldn't say anybody was too drunk to work, but too drunk.
Well, what kind of ego do you have? Do you think you're so important that you can pretty much get away with being a complete fuckhead?
From what I hear, those guys had some egos.
Fair enough. I mean,
one person comes to mind, Kerry Von Erich. You better be a part of your own territory.
Yeah.
They have told stories. Have you guys ever watched the Kerry Von Erich Rick Martel match where he's so fucked up that he can't?
You know, I probably saw it when I was younger. But was it in the Martel stage? Was it the Texas Tornado era?
Yes.
Where Martel was running around with the fucking...
It's like 92.
Yeah, with the spray thing.
Arrogance.
Yeah, good Lord.
Oh, it is dreadful.
Is that what
you
called it, was arrogance? That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm sure I was too dumb when I was a kid to get that.
Oh, too good. okay, so back to themes. Where's the start? Where's the end? Where are we looking at? Who are you guys thinking theme wise? If you had to look in the 80s, who's your first guy? Nah, I think this is easy.
I mean, it's got to be Real American.
Yeah. I mean, for God's
sake. Late 80s, honestly, Bret Hart.
Now, do you remember Hogan's theme from the Rock and Wrestling cartoon? Because he came out to that for a short stint.
I don't off the top of my head. Honestly.
Okay. Another trivia question for you.
Shoot.
Who was Real American originally for?
Again, don't know.
Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo.
Oh, shit. That's interesting.
Yes. Windham flips
what kind
out.
Of, what kind of thing were they getting ready to get into? To use that song, you can't just be, you know, Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo.
Oh, they were the big tag team. I mean, they were hot.
Sure they were going for the patriotic thing after that to take it, or would have?
They were the U.S. Express my best.
There you go.
Ugh.
Man, what was the deal with all the expresses back then?
Because Orient Express, I mean, like, it was a buzzword in the 80s, early 80s. It was used in movies.
Apparently. Good Lord.
That it was. But,
like,
I mean,
Connection for a while was, you know, this connection or that connection.
Mm, absolutely. But this song, I mean, it... got this guy over, like, and who's our singer?
Rick Derringer.
Composer.
Ding, 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 ding.
And
you know, you've seen the video where he's playing a guitar like this.
Playing under the arch.
Fucking great.
But again, this.
Can we get some volume on this, for Christ's sake? You're playing it way too low. There's a law about playing this too low. Thank you. Anyway.
I apologize.
What are you thinking, dude?
Brother.
Hurt my friends. Hurt my pride. I gotta be a man. I can't let it slide.
No fucking way it slides. Not today or any day.
The best part of this, though, is that bridge that when it goes just to the...
Dude, it's such a simple riff, but... so powerful.
Right here.
I gotta look up the guitar tab for that.
Mm-mm.
It's the only thing I want to learn to play anymore.
Right and wrong. Too good, man. That is, I'd say that is setting the bar pretty high for everything that came after it. And like I said, so that's written for Windham and Rotundo. And Windham Rotundo flips out, says, I'm going home. I can't take this anymore. Well, all these dates, we're working every night. I never see my family. Yeah, we work 300 and something days a year. Windham goes in and says, hey, we're done. Fuck this. We're not coming back. Leaves. Goes down to Florida to work again. And Rotundo changes his mind and stays up there. Gets team with Danny Spivey. How bad is that?
Well, Danger Stan is always a weird place to be in your career.
Well, for God's sake, Jim.
The dude wore
caps. Doctor, not a pool man. Spinning the best of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Welcome to the Three Horsemen Show.
Who else I got from the 80s? It was Kick Dick.
I mean, well, Savage.
Yeah, Savage is
that's
great.
A song that stood time.
Graduation like, theme?
Yeah.
Pomp and Circumstance.
Any graduation I go to, I think of that. That's the
How
weird thing.
How could you
thing.
Not?
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm sure there's some.
Was Perfect's theme in the 80s or early 90s?
You can get it works for both.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of other guys that came out because, like, Sergeant Slaughter, like I said, he came out to that Marine hymn, but he also came out to the G.I. Joe music when he got big, and that was a big. That was a big
only real
deal
life G.I. Joe man
for the AWA. That was big at the time. I'm trying to think of other guys that came out. I mean, aside from the Road Warriors coming out to that, and later guys started coming out. But when the AWA was still alive, I mean, if you go into the NWA, you think about the Rock and Roll Express eventually got their own theme. They came out to Rock and Roll is King.
What about Winnie Richter? Remember, she used to come out to Cyndi Lauper.
Girls Just
Want to
Have Fun.
And She Bop. She came out to a few times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did not know she came out to She Bop. Really? A song about masturbation, eh? I'll be a son of a bitch.
Good point.
Although, I mean, they didn't care back then. Nobody. But that's the other thing about the music part of that. Sorry, I'm getting
away from Roddy Piper's music.
Stuff.
God damn it.
But before, like T.O. was saying, before they came out with all the copyright stuff, like WWF TV came on to Thriller. I mean, that was their song for the show. And
that's
Saturday night's main event,
do
you remember Obsession, the song Obsession?
Mm.
You are an obsession. You're my obsession.
Yeah.
Who do you want me to, or however the hell it goes.
It.
Oh, it's a great song. But they incorporated all that stuff into their show after they started getting the music going. So Demolition came in. They got a theme. You know, Savage had his theme. Jake the Snake Roberts has a great theme.
You know who to thank for all that, right?
Steamboat came out to the Chicago Bulls music.
I didn't know that.
The guy they hired at WWF to do all their theme songs, it was Jim Johnston.
Still there.
Is he still there? Yeah. He has done so many fucking themes. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Now you say that, jumping ahead. Now, what do you think of, like, and T.O. and I talked about this before. Jim Johnston had a lot to do with it, but who's the other guy, T.O.?
Jimmy Hart.
Fill me in.
Well, he was in a band in the 50s. What was the name of the band he was in?
The Kingsmen. Shit. What is the name of that
band? Forget what the band was called, but
they had one good tune.
People have no idea how much he's responsible for.
Yeah, hold on. They had one big tune. I forget what it was.
But looking at what he helped with, and I'm sure I'm not
the Gentry's. Keep on dancing, keep on.
I know it was Keep on Dancing. I want to say the Kingsmen. But he had
Louie.
He had a hand, yes. He had a hand, like, I mean, then they started getting Ted DiBiase's theme, The Ultimate Warrior, which I'm sure you're going to like.
Loved it.
Perfect. Rude. All those guys had badass music.
Agreed.
So who?
That era of the late 80s, they just pumped them out, and everybody had a decent one, really, that really went with their character.
Yes. And like I said, the NWA, if you go back and what T.O. touched on, is the thing I hate about the network is they can't play the music. Because you can't hear Iron Man. You can't hear the Midnight Express theme. You can hear Flair. I don't know how that's always worked. But they even bastardized Flair's theme when he came in 91 and did kind of that. What did I say? I said it was a MIDI file, like a synthesizer to death. T.O., what do you... I don't know what, like, who's a good one that we haven't touched on 80s-wise?
So, I mean, Flair, the ones that stick out from the 80s. So, you have Hogan, who set the tone. Then you got the guys that, like, follow after. So, what, and I'm going to ask you this because I go straight to, like, tag teams, Hart Foundation, British Bulldogs. What did those guys come out to right before the 90s took off? At those first, you know, WrestleMania 4 through 7.
You know, I want to say the Bulldogs always, if they came out to music, came out to that theme of Britain.
Yeah.
But it's not God Save the Queen.
Yeah. I mean, like, I remember that one.
That one? Sorry, I whistled.
What was the Hart Foundation? What was... I'm trying to think what theirs was.
Theirs became Bret Hart's theme. But they didn't have it the whole time.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to think of what... Like, some of the stuff... DiBiase, was his money back then?
Money, yes.
I mean, that...
As soon as he got there, it was
exactly,
the laugh.
Exactly. That was a big
Can
one.
Can I do the laugh here in a minute?
Jake the Snake with the guitar riff at the beginning.
Great. Great one.
And that's kind of like the thing that you like.
I'll hit you with Flair, and you'll know it immediately.
When we were kids, we could tell you who the wrestler was in 5 seconds of the song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
bong, 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 bong.
Flair's was so perfect. It's the elegance. It's the upper echelon.
Woo!
look to him. That it, they at least found things that fit guys. Like, you say Blue Meanie came out to Let Me Clear My Throat. Like, how's that happen? You just pick your
it's
favorite song?
It's because he had Hot Wings pretty stuck much. In his throat all the time and he needed to clear it.
That's racist.
Oh. He was what? It was a fattest joke.
And this is
fattest.
Also, also sprach Zarathustra.
Oh, nice pronunciation.
I mean, I can remember this being 3 and 4 years old and just seeing this, knowing here comes Flair. You just knew it was Flair.
Did you like Sting's music?
Loved. Oh.
You did like Sting's?
Now, we're talking the original.
Yeah.
How does Sting's original start?
I'll give it to you, honey.
I don't like the sound of that. That's for the record.
This is before they ruined it. Man Called Sting. This is before that.
Way too similar to Warrior. That whole, that muted, that palm mute. I mean, it's got the...
I love this music.
Pretty good.
And I don't know why. I just always thought it was really cool.
So, do you remember, so, like, just jumping ahead, and then just popped in my head, because you were saying, like, the ripoff of Warrior and all that, and I was thinking of ripoffs.
I'm not saying it's a ripoff, it's just similar.
But do you remember the point in time when WCW was using stock music, and yes. you'd be watching SportsCenter, and you'd hear the same music during the highlights of the game? Jericho's is one of the songs, the Lionheart theme,
ugh.
That they would play in the background of sports highlights. You'd be like, and it was, I remember it was like this confusing time. You'd be watching the highlights and be like, I know that fucking song.
I'm
from
glad somebody else noticed this.
So you do remember, okay.
Very much so.
Dude, it was the weirdest thing. About, and then
it was more than just him.
I know, and it was before like you had access to look up shit on your phone. Mm-hmm. So you'd be sitting there like, is that Dean Malenko's song? Like, do you remember doing
yes.
that though? It was bizarre.
Oh,
it was
I
a weird,
totally.
Weird time.
Now you just heard Sting, so here's Ultimate Warrior.
See what I mean? Get that whole palm muted repeating thing.
I guess it's because I like Sting more. Because when I'd hear this music, I'd be like, oh, fuck. Great. Ultimate Warrior's coming out. Take it for a second. Discuss some other music.
So, no.
What era? Like, what era do you think had the best music, E?
Honestly, it would have been the early 90s era, like when your Razor Ramon came out. When, I don't know, just around that era, you start having Diesel and his, you know, really character-driven late 80s, early 90s shit.
So, I think what we can all agree on is any song that was good or any song that we liked was identifiable in the first 3 seconds.
Had to be. I mean, that's the most important part.
That,
it had to grab you.
It sucked you in.
Even if you didn't like the wrestler, I mean, as soon as you like, you heard Macho Man's, I mean, it got you. You're like, oh, that motherfucker's coming out.
And to skip ahead, and I know it drives Corey nuts, but to skip ahead.
He's not here.
Right now, the best music and the best entrances right now, and I think the entrance has a little bit to do with it also.
Mm-hmm.
What follows the music, but. Like, you know, we talk about Nakamura and we talk about Finn Balor. Their music, they have two of the best entrances in music in wrestling, and I think that's part of the character. They're both great workers, but Balor and Nakamura's music, it sets the tone. And that's what we were talking about when you got away, Corey. We were talking about what eras have the best music, and it led to the beginning has to grab you, whether it's Austin's Glass, The Rock's If You Smell, Hogan. I mean, like, all those songs were identifiable within 2 seconds, and it had you in. And then The Undertaker, the doom, the pageantry that comes with the song. You know, so what, and, you know, the Warrior running to the ring, Hogan pointing to the crowd. Like, what wrestler had the best music but the shittiest entrance combined with it?
Boy.
You know, like a really good song, but the entrance was dog shit. Or who had a really good entrance or could have had like a really good entrance, or had a really good entrance, chicken but the and the song egg. Sucked.
Yeah, chicken and the egg. Well,
because it goes yeah, hand
remember
in
the
hand.
Remember the one we just played, Ultimate Warrior. I mean, are we talking worker?
To the ring?
Are we talking worker?
Oh, not worker entrance? At all. We're just talking about the entrance with the music.
In the famous words of Arne Anderson, Jesus, if they could only just play the music through the entire match, because that's what it came down to. Now, does this grab you? You'll tell me.
Every time. That's the original, though. I like Sherry's version better.
So do I. Like, when he got away from her and sang that himself, I'm like, ugh, they kind of fucked that song up.
It was
then,
weird.
And then it caught on.
Yeah. I mean, it's not horrible.
No.
It's better than Jannetty's.
He who will not be talked about.
But, you know, even to this day, you talk about how important the music is in your entrance. When the Shield broke up, you knew, but they had the coolest entrance going. They were coming through the crowd.
Yeah,
they had the music.
Yeah.
Who kept it?
Oh, that was a TV show, Shield.
I'll take a guess.
Roman Reigns kept the song, kept the entrance.
How bad does he need a new theme?
Yeah. Could you imagine if he was going through the crowd right now? He'd be getting stabbed, fucking everything else.
Be getting punched in the dick.
So that'd be funny. Good old dick punch.
Who
getting punched in the dick.
There's so many ways to like take where we're going at with this, and I feel like we're bouncing all over the place with, you know, 80s, 90s. We're trying
it's
to
kind of the point.
Yeah. I'm trying to
we've
say
been,
stay
we've
structured.
Gone pretty well in order,
but
we haven't jumped to Razor or
we brought it up a little bit just totally because.
Oh, what were you guys? What did you guys?
He was saying the best time he thought was the early 90s.
When they were the really
early 90s.
Well, the really character specific late 80s, early 90s. Whenever the themes were so, like Diesel's horn, you know, whenever all that shit was going on. I thought it was great.
His thing is, it's because the gimmicks. The music had so much to do with the gimmick.
And it instantly and it got you fired up for era. The character. Whether you like the character or not, the music at that point in time was made to immediately identify who was coming out and get you going. Liking him or not. Like I said, Macho Man. As soon as you heard that laugh, like him or not, you knew Macho Man was coming.
Million Dollar Man.
God, you always do that.
You're fine.
I do that every. I don't know why.
We knew what you're talking about. I'm pretty sure anybody that's hearing this knew what you were talking about.
You get my point, though. It fires you. It's got to fire you up. And in my opinion, that was the era where they really focused on let's identify the wrestler by their music.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that happened even more in the late 90s, the second boom that they would throw in. Oh, Buff Bagwell. Oh, he's going to say Buff is the stuff. Or, I mean, for God's sakes.
Diamond Dallas Page. Self high five.
Exactly. And
I almost didn't consider his one. I didn't want to consider any themes that used, like, released music. You know,
but was
I mean?
That not Pearl Jam's music in
no,
there?
No, it was
That's
Nirvana.
A problem.
It was Nirvana.
That's the problem.
Or Nirvana, I'm sorry.
You're right. Yeah, sorry.
Either way, yes. I mean, it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, it's licensed music. It was on an album,
but they did a lot. But it wasn't exactly Nirvana's theme, but it had the same whatever you would call it. I don't know. I mean,
it was that.
Do you know who this is?
Like who actually did it? No.
No, but I mean, my God.
Sounds like Hendrix, kind of, with that wah wah.
A little bit.
Ozzy Osbourne with that. That
who is it? It's the NWO, but who is the?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
did you ever get that Ozzy feeling though from that?
I'm talking about like you said that the early '90s is the time.
Well, late
'90s
was great
thought.
Too, I guess. There, I'll give you that.
But like '96, '97 is the.
Fuck, all of the 90s had different times that were great for whatever reasons.
Pretty much sealed the deal that you're going to know who's coming out.
Yeah.
And it was, everybody had a theme. But this was something I often argued my brother Nick. He was in college, I was early high school, and it was like, he got me back into wrestling when I stopped watching. And I was like, I can't take this shit anymore. And when they would have five guys come out, and you had to play all five themes. I'm like, you gotta be shit. It took 10 minutes to get the entrances done.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the problem. And I don't like that. But
it's a fair gripe, sir. It's fair
if
gripe.
You had a good, like you said, Val Venus. Like, hey, hello
ladies.
You know, with the saxophone and everything.
Yeah, it was great.
Very memorable. But
not a great wrestler, but very memorable.
I don't
know.
I guess he was okay. With his style.
I mean, let's just say he was never more than a mid-card guy.
I can't name a terrible, 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 terrible worker in the WWF in the late 90s. I can't name somebody that you were just like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
That's fair. I mean, that's
who
really
is
fair.
This guy? And so I can remember Steve Blackman's theme. I can remember.
Oh, Blackman. World's Most Lethal Man or whatever he was.
World's Most Dangerous, whatever he was.
I don't know. You might hit mute, though, for a minute.
Uh-oh. What happened?
I don't know. You tell me whatever that.
Did I miss something?
Did somebody come online, your Skype, I think it was?
Anything's possible. People want to Skype me. What can I tell you?
All right. Who wants to go first? Who wants? Let's get into it. Who's got a list? Who wants to pop out their list? I want to do my whole list almost.
Go.
I didn't take the time to come up with all these for nothing.
You do your list, and then we'll just give feedback on it, and then we can add to. I
almost feel like we should only do your list. I mean, you did the tournament. I would love to know who's included in your tournament.
We'll go through them all then. I did a random seed, so some of them matches like the
and
first
you did
round.
How many? 32?
32.
Oof.
I couldn't dump them out. I had to organize it some way. The tournament seemed to be the best way to me. And I didn't want to take the time to seed them because that would have got real, real nasty real quick.
I like it.
So my 25th was an 8th place tie.
Okay.
It's just the way this works.
25th was an 8th place tie?
No, it was an 8-way tie.
8-way tie.
Sorry, not 8th place tie. Okay. 25th place was 8-way tie, which included The Rock, Val Venus.
Wait a minute. Whoa. How far down do you have The Rock?
The Rock lost. He was my number one seed for whatever reason. Lost to Chris Jericho's Break the Walls Down first round.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
And he lost in the loser's bracket. He got put up against Vince McMahon's No Chance, which I love that one too.
You know what's crazy? And T.O. will know this. They now sing that. Anytime, and they did it really big time after the WrestleMania when it's the
No Chance
Beach Ball Mania, and it's the smarky crowd, and they sing No Chance like crazy. But now, anywhere he comes out, they sing it.
I like it. I mean, say it's good.
The song's been around for 20 years. Eventually, you want to sing at a concert, right? I do.
True.
Yeah. Okay, never mind. Go ahead. Big snob I am. My God.
You snobby cock.
Jesus.
No.
He knows it's been around 20 years. So I got to tell everybody
20
how it
years
goes.
Like you count like I can't count.
He's got math skills. A real
snob.
You know I don't do maths.
A real doucher.
Snob right. Over there.
Counting. I had Big Van Vader in that same 8-way tie.
What?
It's time. It's just the way he lost the first round. He came up against better shit. And there's going to be some unfortunate things.
Oh, this, yeah, because
if I would have seeded it properly, it might have went differently. But random seed, this is how it went, and I had to go with it. I wasn't going to reseed. So then I got DDP, Self I-5, okay. Bray Wyatt's Live in Fear, which I really liked that one. It was a good theme.
Could have been a lot better, but
okay.
I just think that there was so much promise around the entrance with the music, and they just pissed it away.
Harlem Heat's Rap Sheet.
Oh.
I loved it. Road Warriors, What a Rush. And Owen Hart's Enough is Enough and It's Time for a Change. Rounded out my 25th.
What?
I don't remember that
Enough.
One.
You know, when he was the Nugget, he come out all pissed off. I loved it.
I know, but I don't remember the song behind it.
It doesn't matter. Oh, now you're talking.
Stevie Ray and Booker T, baby.
Real Life Brothers, tough ones. Yeah, I love it.
That's good stuff.
They also had Sherry. They should have had her doing that in the background. Na 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 na.
Sherry just. Yeah. All right. It's a shame she's dead.
The next is my 17th place, 8-way tie. Challenge comes up with some weird shit when you do double elimination, okay? So it would have been Kurt Angle and his. Razor Ramon Chico.
Oh, we fucked.
There's so many good ones in the 17th. It's killer. Mr. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Vince McMahon wound up here. Bad Street USA wound up here.
Yeah.
Shane O'Mac, Here Come the Money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is a great one.
You can continue.
Demolition theme.
was in my 17th.
Dude.
That's got to be higher than what? That.
What? Well, let me find out where it lost out.
Oh, I would love to know where Demolition lost out.
Let's see. It lost out first round to Undertaker, his original theme.
Okay.
And then it lost in double elimination to Jericho's Break the Walls Down.
I'd go with...
It did beat Bray Wyatt, though. It is what put Bray Wyatt out.
I'd take Demolition over the Break the Walls.
I mean, that's like your opinion, man.
Yeah.
No, it's like just... your opinion, man.
And then Gold Dust.
Do you
Gold
know what
Lust.
That's from, T.O.?
What? No, I think it's funny, though.
It's Big Lebowski.
Yes.
I was going to say Dazed and Confused.
Close enough. Gold Dust, Gold Lust rounds out my 17th. Mm-hmm. Loved it. 13th place.
How many ties do you have there?
Four.
Okay.
So. There's four 13th placers.
Holy fuck! How many seeds you got in this sumbitch?
There was 32.
It's a 97 team tournament.
The double elimination really is what put this into some weird shit.
I love it, dude. Keep going.
Stone Cold.
Oh, wow.
Triple H is the game. The New Age Outlaws. Oh, you didn't know.
Oh.
See, I thought that would be way higher.
So did I. So did I.
Let's find out where that went.
Because I think if you ask guys 5 years younger than us,
sorry,
the New Age Outlaws would be top five on most of their lists.
It was great, wasn't it?
Okay, tell me this. Why is it I went to house shows that everybody's arms went in the air immediately? Arms went in the air.
You're missing the important part.
No, I know. The middle finger.
All right.
It did not matter if you're on TV. People still took signs.
Fair enough.
This music came on. Everybody's arms went.
It's because you're so excited, your whole body wants to explode. Oh my god!
It's
if you didn't need to stand, your legs would have went straight out too.
It'll never happen again like this.
Ever.
I don't think. If it does, I'll be flabbergasted.
The only thing that you can compare it to is Wyatt's interest. His entrance with the cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody turns a light on and they gloat. Like,
yeah.
There's that interaction. And then to the New Age Outlaws.
Go ahead.
He's just doing spear fingers.
To the New Age Outlaws.
Oh, time?
Time?
Oh, yep, fuck, I don't know.
30 seconds.
Let me look here.
The New Age Outlaws was the first song that I can remember that they got the interaction going with the crowd at the very beginning.
Absolutely.
They come out, oh, you didn't know?
I don't know that anybody's done it since.
Well, New Day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And Enzo
I'm
and
sorry.
Cass.
Yeah.
But Enzo and Cass.
I didn't mean to say it like
think
that.
About Enzo and Cass.
Mm-hmm.
Who was their trainer down in NXT? Hey, way to get over and make sure you got a good position when you copy the gimmick.
Talker and a shitty worker.
Copy the gimmick of the guy that's your boss, pretty much.
Hmm. You want to know how the New Age Outlaws fared?
Yeah.
You figured they would have been much higher. I'll tell you how they got knocked out. They took out Big Van Vader first round and moved on to second round to go on against Ted DiBiase. I'm going to give it to Ted DiBiase.
Everybody's got a price.
So in double elimination.
Doink got him.
Now, wait a minute.
Did Doink make it?
No, I didn't even put Doink on my list.
Is Dean Malenko's theme on there?
Not on there as well.
Okay, didn't make it.
New Age Outlaws lost, or no, they took out the Freebirds. I gave it over Freebirds.
Man.
And then they got taken out by Goldberg. I gave Goldberg the go over the, oh, you didn't know.
Okay.
Just because of that.
But
wait
let me
a
ask,
minute.
Though,
wait
was
a
it
minute.
Goldberg's music or his entrance,
The whole, and I kind of keep the entrance as part of the package. I can't help it. I can't separate.
And that's, I understand that.
Hold on. Hold the phone.
I'm sure it was hard whenever I got to this, but...
Where did this guy finish?
Oh, he was in my last group, 25th. You want to find out how his...
Because I heard you mention him, but I was afraid that he had been...
Okay, he lost to Jericho in the first round to put him into the double elimination and lost to Vince McMahon in his first match. And he just got shitty, in my opinion... Shitty matches right off the bat.
My other thing is there are so many themes in that era, and the themes changed. Because that's like the fourth or fifth theme. They kept changing
the
everything
yeah.
on him, and they did it to Austin, too. Remember the era early 2000s, late 90s, somewhere
they
in there.
They changed songs every 2 years because they were doing the CDs.
Yeah, but they were, yeah, they were doing yeah. like.
CDs were awesome. Can we just say that now?
Yeah, CDs yeah. were great. You know who had a. For sure.
I'm going to say who had a good entrance that might not be on there because it was not mainstream. The Brood's entrance.
I was going to say that.
I
yes.
considered The Brood. I did.
You did?
But I, no.
I think The Brood had one of the better entrances
really?
Ever.
Really? Well, don't worry.
Here's my ninth
Got
place.
Got you taken care of.
Listen to this. I don't. Do you remember it?
Yeah. Gang Girl was a freaky fucker, wasn't he?
Yeah. But then it's got like kind of like a hip hop thing to it after it.
It's got a real gothic start and like industrial.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff.
And then real quick too, I want to ask one question and see if you guys think this because it always triggers. The beginning of Razor Ramon's music, does it not remind you of Mick Foley's music with the car crash at the beginning?
Say it again.
The Razor Ramon at the beginning, how it starts out, mm-hmm. it kind of starts out the same as Mick Foley when the car crashes.
I can see that.
It's very similar the first 2 seconds of the song.
Here's my other thing. That's the dead period to me. I knew who Razor Ramon was,
mm-hmm.
but... Until he went to WCW, and I'm like, oh, my God.
So you were all in WCW at that point in time.
I got into WCW. I tell you what happened.
So you missed all of, like, the Shawn Michaels, Russell, or Razor Ramon, like, ladder matches and all that glory?
I thought
that was good stuff. I loved that. That was a good era.
Well, now I've gone back and watched matches that are needed, and there's at least, like, 7 matches from 4 years that they needed the people to see.
Mm.
Because you talk about some bad shit. That is that era.
That's fair, but...
I mean, Owen Hart had some matches. Bret Hart had some matches. But aside from that, I didn't need to know what Kevin Nash and those guys were doing. Yeah. I knew who they were. So when they flipped over, I had gone to WCW and started watching them because the Road Warriors came back. Because the Road Warriors, to me, it was like, no matter what they did... They're back.
That's part of the main part of the show for you.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Right. And the other thing was, Hogan had gone back a year and a half earlier, so I was kind of...
It was on your radar.
Yeah, and what the hell was his music?
Hogan?
Who, Diesel's or...
American Man. He's an American... He's American Man.
And then he was Steve Regal? What was Steve Regal's? Remember, he's a manly man or something like that?
Oh, yeah. When he was
he's a man's man.
Oh, that's what it was. It was
oh,
fucking
we're
horrible.
Playing that. Forget and
then,
that.
And then Hogan did Voodoo Child then. That was his.
Yes.
Yep. Hollywood.
And you know the other thing about that? Hogan got Voodoo Child, and he separated himself. That was brilliant. For them to buy the rights to Voodoo Child,
mm-hmm.
because, I mean, they were throwing money out the door, but that was still genius. And hold on, we're going to play really
great. He's a man.
He's a man's man. Oh, and you guys remember that. Mm-hmm. I remember that. But remember how bad it was?
Yes.
And you just thinking, what are they doing with this guy?
That was in my top 3 bad ones of all time.
He'd wear the flannel shirt.
Like he's a fucking lumberjack.
Yeah.
He's a man.
Oh.
Hey, it's so Monty Python-esque that it makes you love it. To me.
The only problem I had with it is you're coming from him fresh off of his, you know, Lord Steven Regal, or whatever he was at that time, going into this.
So good. If they didn't take this from something off Monty Python with Spam, I'll kiss your ass. That's exactly what it is.
I'm not going to look into it then. Too much of a chance.
Oh, just beautiful.
He's a man.
All right, my 9th place is a 4-way.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is the last 4-way. And then we get on the 2-ways. So we got NWO coming in 9th. Ultimate Warriors, wow. Unstable. Tony, it's the matches. I should probably redo this. We could do it like a nice official seating, but this is the way it happened and it's the way it went. Goldberg and DX were my 9th
places. I thought those two would be in your top 5.
They may well have made it, but it's just,
the way it came out.
Seventh place was a two-way tie, which was The Undertaker, and I chose his original theme as opposed to any of his bullshit ones.
Kid Rock?
Fuck either one of the Kid Rocks he did. And Macho Man's Pomp and Circumstance were my seventh places.
Yeah, we haven't played that yet, have we?
We have not.
You say DX.
Yeah, fake Rage.
Do you guys remember them playing the national anthem at WrestleMania 14?
Yep.
You know, they've cut that out.
Really?
Yeah, because it was so dreadful.
Mm. Those guys weren't that great. Who's the other person they did their theme song for? The fake Rage Against the Machine here.
Waltman?
No, I don't think so. Hold on. I'm going to find this out.
Trying to think.
Chris Warren was the band. Chris Warren Band.
As an athlete at this time, these guys were over in September of 1996, late September, early October. October. And we were already doing the DX chop in the locker room in Bethalto, Illinois. Like laying down, doing the thing that they did.
You still see kids doing it.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Apparently he did a version of Triple H's theme song, I guess, before Motorhead did.
Yeah, he did. The first theme song of Triple H.
I can't even remember now. Where are we at? We're down to my top five, which is six. Because it's a it's a tie for fifth.
A six-way tie for
Great. It's my top five.
It's a six-way tie for 12th place.
It's a two-way tie for fifth, so it's my top five of six.
Okay.
I gotcha.
So my top fives.
Wait a minute. Who was seventh?
The sevenths were The Taker.
Okay.
And Macho Man.
Okay.
Do we play Macho?
So now, are we talking the original Undertaker theme?
The original. That's why I said
not
none of that
31st
Kid Rock
version.
No, the original. Gong. You know the one, the original, the real fucking good one, the real mysterious.
So no Fred Durst.
No.
Okay.
No rolling. No American Badass. That one, but with less of the sound, the thunder effects, because I think this is listening to it. This is the one that had all the lightning. It's not okay. Yeah, this is beautiful here.
I always think back to how long it was until he talked, or at least spoke on TV. And
sure.
Because he wasn't great on. I mean, I don't think he had ever done an interview in WCW until. Right until about 91, so I guess that would have been the first time he talked.
Bad YouTube sound, John? I thought so. I figured that's the only thing you can fucking with.
What?
Our YouTube, I noticed it earlier, like, you see how on that little screen there, where that represents our audio levels for YouTube? It's been pinged most of the whole time, so it's probably been like, but turned down. He's got it a little more leveled out.
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
It's coming out of Aux 1.
What's that?
It's coming out of Aux 1.
I don't know, probably.
I think so.
Yeah.
We're in the studio, people. This is what we audio crazy nuts do.
We're audiophiles in here. We like to have good audio.
Yeah.
Anyway, fifth place.
There we go.
Ric Flair. God, I'm now really hot. You guys got that now? Like, I'm real hot?
No.
Sounding?
Your voice just went up.
That's what I mean. My mic is real hot.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on one there, Johnny, if you could turn me down a bit. Oh, that's better. Fifth place, Ric Flair with his Sprock Zarathustra or whatever you call it. Zarathustra.
Sprock Zarathustra.
Thustra. And Roddy Piper's theme.
Oh.
Dropped out at fifth.
Oh, see, now I missed him.
How could you miss his? His was great.
Now, T.O., where does he land for you?
He wouldn't have Hot Rod?
Yeah.
It's recognizable, but it wouldn't have been one of the top ones for me.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said that his theme would register, although you definitely know it's him, for sure. Wow, man, that's crazy when that door is open.
Yeah, it changes the whole sound. Whoa, there I am loud again.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll just deal with it. I'll just come back here. Is this better?
Well, I mean, you're probably going in the right way.
Yeah, who knows? Fourth place. Oh, wait a minute. Do some Piper, yeah.
Oh, you can talk over it.
It's beautiful.
You can talk over it.
See, Piper was...
I think his theme music really fit because he wasn't the type of guy. He would get intense and he would get loud, but he didn't come out that way every time. He came out, you know, it was just, I'm fucking Roddy Piper. And it was just, it set the mood for Piper. And he knew he might get into that Piper madness or what it was that they call it, his little, when he get into a role, he had a term for it, I forget. But it was great. Fourth place.
Never a Piper guy. Never got it. Never. He just never looked tough to me. He was never intimidated.
Really?
I
recognize. Fourth place. The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
We haven't played that yet. I have this feeling Ted DiBiase is going a long way in your...
He's fourth. That's it.
I want to say that I'm surprised this did not end up in your top.
Where did Goldust go out? I think he was in my 25th. No, he was 17th. Loved me some Dust.
Very surprised.
This was a creepy theme, dude. Whenever you heard that theme, you knew that freaky fucker was coming out. His weird, you know, his weird thing where you remember Goldust intro and everything.
For some reason, I think he turned me down. At least in my headphones.
You do sound lighter now. I sound way too loud, don't I?
Yeah, super loud.
Anyway,
I don't.
Yeah. He had all the glitter raining down, the gold lights. It was all darked out. It was great.
Very much so.
Like I said, Ted DiBiase was fourth. Shawn Michaels was my third.
I hope you guys can hear me.
I can totally hear you.
Yeah, okay.
I gotta turn me down. I got to.
It's too much. It's just too much.
That was even loud when you got up and walked away.
Oh, it's all the way
Now, T.O., now, where are you at in your top guy? Are any of these guys registering?
My top five is probably Hogan, Austin.
Is that better? Hello? Yeah, that's better.
Oh, my gosh.
That's much better.
Demolition would be in there. NWO. And then probably Flyers. Something like that.
Sizable top five. Sizable. And I'm measuring by length.
I do girth.
And I'm measuring by... I'm starting at my asshole. So 17
so you're
inches.
I was going to say, you're a foot long, eh?
So finish it up here, sir.
Third place.
Sorry, T.O. We're cutting into T.O.'s golf time.
Third place.
Oh, no. We can stay as long as we want.
And
we've
played
this
already. Shawn Michaels' theme.
Yes.
It's a great theme.
Just a sexy boy.
That was the maybe next time third place award.
Okay.
The worthy adversary second place award goes to the excellence of execution, Bret the Hitman Hart.
Oh, fuck me.
You like that one?
I loved it. Did you guys like that one? I remember playing the video game when I was a kid. It was one of the few musics they got right in the loop. You know, they continued to just play that
because
same.
Because it was so goddamn easy. You could not mess that up.
See,
pretty easy to get right. Pretty easy to get right.
And then out he comes doing his little thing, take my glasses, little kid. I thought it was great.
It was.
The Supreme Champion.
Hogan.
Easy. Yeah, I'm taking my headphones off and going back over to the board to fix my mic, but it was Hulk Hogan.
Real American.
Real?
Something happened to your mic, Biggie?
That slow build-up was just...
I'm just enjoying this theme music.
Better not be
doing your Corey thing and shitting on Bret Hart. I'll tell you what, we'll fight over it. There's a good one. Any of these, depending on the day, though, could have been number one in my opinion.
I'll tell you what, though, right now, I'm not really a prisoner of the moment because I shit all over the product.
Mm-hmm.
There's some good entrances right now. I mean, Enzo and Cass, they have a good entrance. Nakamura, his entrance and music is good.
Very
Bobby
so.
Roode has a really good one in NXT. And then Balor has a great one. I mean, there's some right now that are really legit.
Very true.
Cena's didn't come up on anybody's, I noticed.
You didn't?
Now, I'm surprised this did not make it anywhere near your top.
You want to know how it went out?
I would love to know how it went out.
Let's follow the path of New Age.
Talk about a nothing tag team.
So, I think we went over this already, actually. In the first round, they fought Vader.
When did you guys go over it?
Maybe we didn't. Maybe I just read through it. In the first round, they went against Vader's theme. I gave it to them. Vader's was good. Theirs was way better.
Man, yeah.
In the second round, they got the unfortunate pleasure to go up against Ted DiBiase.
No.
I mean, that makes sense, right? Then in the first round, well, the second round of the loser's bracket, they went up against the Freebirds. And I gave the win to the New Age Outlaws over the Freebirds there, knocking out the Freebirds.
Wow.
And then they were knocked out by Goldberg in the next round. I swear we talked about this, and you guys lambasted me over
it. I guess we just didn't play the New Age Outlaws theme. That's my fault.
What's your top five?
Never let it happen again.
My top five?
Yeah.
JYD, coming out to another one bites the dust. Hogan's Real American. Sprock Zeruda by Flair. Austin is number two with the glass break. Mm-hmm. And the Road Warriors are number one with Iron Man. And that's not really based on anything. If you would watch the old stuff and see, you would see what I'm talking about. But
the reaction,
and that's probably why as a kid I was like, oh my God.
I got one honorable mention that I didn't want to use because, like I said, I wanted to avoid licensed material.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Van Dam, when he was coming out to that Pantera song, Walk.
Oh,
yeah.
And I still like his music. And you know who else I like? Benoit. Benoit had great music when he got to WWE.
Play me some Benoit.
Was it? Yeah, I don't remember it either.
I almost put fucking Eddie Guerrero on there, but decided not to.
Yeah. No Edge, no. I mean, like,
nope.
Think about that era. There was nothing from that. Oh,
nothing memorable.
This is Benoit's.
Trying to remember this.
They didn't really play all that at the beginning.
Oh, I didn't know if that was my head or his head.
Oh yeah, now I remember this. Toothless Aggression. It's not bad.
And I always knew it was him. Which, at the time, they had so many songs.
Right.
That it was kind of tough. They had guys like this coming out.
It was lost in the era of industrial guitar intros. You know what I mean?
Very much so. Especially in the time of industrial music.
Yeah.
Early 2000s.
When you got, like, your Nine Inch Nails bullshit going on and all that kind of stuff.
And you had bands like, I mean... I can't say it. I mean,
Tool,
like,
and all those other bands. Yeah. I don't know nothing about. I don't know a lot about industrial type of music, but
who was the band that did the theme for WrestleMania 23?
Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
No,
Drowning Pool.
No, they had a long-haired singer with a long
WrestleMania
Fu Manchu.
What, 23 or 24?
23. Saliva.
What did they do? What was some of their other stuff? I remember the name. The Memory Will Never Die, I guess, is the name of the song.
T.O., you can go. You ain't got to hang.
No, I'm trying to think of other songs. I mean, I just feel like we're missing some stuff.
We're missing a ton of things.
Yeah. You're not going to get it all. I mean.
No. So let's finish this tournament. I want to know.
Oh, that's it. Hogan won. Remember?
Oh, Hogan won?
Yeah, Hogan won.
Oh, shit.
It's barely even worth talking about. I mean, it's obvious. Hogan was winning from the beginning of the tournament.
Oh, really?
I almost wanted to throw him out because it's like, God damn it, I know he's number one. When I start, it's like Led Zeppelin in a rock and roll tournament. Not my favorite band, but they're going to win.
Yeah, I still disagree with that, but whatever. That's because it's a super group, but...
Mm-hmm. Barely.
Trying to think here.
So, well, T.O. has hit on something that is... I mean, if you don't know about this guy... then you are missing the boat because his theme. Okay, so they had a promo this week, and I know old school fans are going, nobody cares. But they did their segment this week, and this guy's theme played, came out. They sang his theme through the segment. It's that over. And you know about it because we talked about it on the last one. Or on the last show, and it is such a killer thing. And when you add this in,
is this from last week or is this this week?
Last week. No, the violinist has only been out twice.
I know. Play the one from this week though to hear the crowd too, because they did it again. This
is
better. This one's better though. Leave this one.
Is this what's getting him over with me?
The violin?
Some Phantom of the Opera style shit almost.
Let me ask you this. How many times have you seen him wrestle?
every time I've watched, every time I've tuned in just to see him. Go.
But five times?
25.
Okay, so you've seen him more.
And keep in mind, this is five straight days in the same city. And they reacted this way.
It's incredible.
Now go to when the music stops and the crowd's doing it, like, fast forward a little bit.
I'll do that while we tonight. While we talk about, whoops. He is as over because of music as anybody. I mean, and I know you talk about end zone cast, but that ship has sailed because, you know, entering work is still going to change how you guys look at or mm-hmm. how anybody looks at these guys. It's kind of like with the Brood. One guy had the music, and then the other two guys joined him to make him look good, and then it became, mm-hmm. oh, all right, well, one guy's good, one guy's not. But he and the other guy is Finn Balor. I mean, yep. His music's so over. And it has to do with the entrance.
Well, the entrance, and that's they work on that at NXT. And that's and Bobby Roode's the next one. His is the glorious thing is huge that's going to get over huge when he gets called up.
You know who? Okay, so let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Do you like AJ Styles' theme music?
I think they got it messed up.
No!
I think that music was meant to be for Apollo Crews.
Why is that?
Because it's like a Southern Baptist rap. Like,
I think that's
it
good.
Doesn't fit that personality, AJ Styles. He's religious, but it's not a... I think they got it confused. I really do.
I think you have to see past what is... I think you would have to get more of his.
You don't want. No.
I think there's more to him than people see.
It's just, what's this one?
Yeah, see, this is what I mean. Like you said, oh, that's Balor's music. There's two versions. This is the demon theme.
Oh, I didn't hear the okay, the heartbeat there. Okay.
Over like Rover.
But again, that's funny. Over like Rover.
It's the interaction. You give the crowd a chance to interact with the song. They know their role. They're able to get. They're able to know their role. Where there's 300 people that do it to get it over. Then when you move that act to a 12,000 seat arena,
right?
They mimic it.
Yes.
So Bailey, like the.
I know. I feel like she's lost her steam too.
Yeah, but there's no hook with her, no. With the crowd and her music. So
you're right.
You can tell who WWE has their eyes on as far as moving them up to the main roster by their music and by their entrance. Bobby Roode will be up soon because of the way they built it up. He's got the glorious, and the people go crazy with it. So yeah. Like. I think you can tell who they
they're
have the big plans
the,
for.
They're yeah. hooked with the Ty Dillinger kid, too.
Yep, the 10.
Tens.
Yep.
And I would think about the same thing with Sasha Banks, but I guess we're out of time. We need to get out of here. So, top one ever for E, Big Easy.
Top five of which there were six.
No. Your top one. Who's your number one?
Hogan.
And you can't argue. I mean, for God's sake.
After that Hitman.
Oh, really?
I mean, that's the way the tourney went, and I'm not going to go against the tournament. Who am I to go against the tournament?
Who are
you
we?
You don't fuck with the tournament. No. Guys.
Number one, T.O.
One for a reason.
Oh, I'd say Hogan, probably.
Really?
I mean, just because of the childhood. I mean, just the...
No, I get it.
Again, it's hard because there's so many that are right there. I mean, Demolitions was awesome. I loved LOD's What a Rush. I mean, like, you just knew right away.
Yeah.
But
I liked it, but I was just never. I always thought, oh, you could just come out to Iron Man and just save everybody.
Austin's was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of them. I mean,
helps to be one of the greatest guys ever to get your music.
As much as I think Triple H is a douchebag, His was okay.
The game, I like
his second. Game. I like his second theme more than I like his original.
No, I like the actual Hunter Hearst Helmsley, the beginning one.
Yeah. Oh.
The old Connecticut Blue Blood.
Mine's Iron Man.
Yeah. I mean, there's
something about it.
Flair, Savage, the classics. You know, what about Ricky the Dragon Steamboats when he was in WWF? Do you remember that one?
Jeez, I don't.
I'm telling you, that is the Chicago Bulls theme. I promise
when
you.
When he was in WWF?
I promise you.
I don't remember it.
He promised.
I thought there was like a... I thought there was a different thing to it.
This is Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's original theme in the WWF.
Play it. What's his other one then? Because this is the one I'm not...
It doesn't matter. Sorry.
Well, let's see. We'll find out together. This is his other theme in WWF.
Man, I'm thinking of someone else then.
It has to be.
Rick Rude's a good one.
Oh, that's a great one.
I mean, there's a lot of... It's just hard. I mean, like, so much of it, though. I mean, it just... The old ones, it just brings back good memories of being
Absolutely.
A kid.
Oh, I'm sure that's why I'm picking mine. I mean, as much as I love Austin...
Saturday mornings.
...to death, and I love the NWO theme. I love Voodoo Child for Hogan.
And the other thing, like, 92, 93, he talked about the early 90s. I think you associate a lot of it, too, of running to the guardrail. You hear the music, and the kids run to the guardrail for the good guys.
Very true.
You know?
Very true.
Yep.
Very.
Yeah.
Well, this was fun.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good.
That was a hell of a tournament. I very much enjoyed.
Thank you.
Good job.
It's been fun spinning the tunes of the.
What are we doing next week?
Oh, I'm sorry.
We'll
leave it as a guess.
I do want to say I want everybody to check out thewrestlingsnob.com in progress right now. Not even kidding.
We're working on that.
Just a picture of me.
It's exactly what I'm working on. You just go to thewrestlingsnob.com, and it will be Corey.
I guess we didn't get Stump the Snob this week. Is our new segment.
That's fucking awesome.
That'll get sponsored.
I tell you what, the spontaneousness of the Three Horsemen will change podcasting for the rest of the podcast. Day. I don't have anything.
The rest of the day.
We're getting the hell out of here. It's been fun.
Catch you guys next week. Thanks for listening.
It's been fun talking wrestling themes for T.O., Big Easy, and Corey. Check out Numeral 3 Horseman Show after facebook.com/Numeral3Horseman Show, twitter.com/Numeral3Horseman Show, and youtube.com, where that does not exist.
You can do 3horsemanshow.com/YouTube. That works.
Be friends with us, you jerks. How about that?
Get friendly.
Yeah.
Message us on Twitter. We'll talk. We got nothing going on.
We will. For show.
And if you're famous, even better.
Yeah.
We're fucking famous whores.
All right.
Anyway.
We're getting out of Dodge.
What a weird, awkward ending.
For the Three Horsemen Show, Big Easy, T.O., and Corey. We're out of here. Talk to you next week.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
Need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.